live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Scott K. Nichols and State Farm Insurance. And now, here's your hosts, Brandon Reif and Jonathan Birdsong.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio, episode number 202, season 5, episode 2. I'm your host, Brandon Reif. I'll be joined here momentarily by my running mate, my man on the wing, getting ready to shoot the three-pointer for the three, Jonathan Birdsong. JB, how are you?
What's going on, man? Nah, I'm coming with the dunk today, man. I'm doing just fine. What's going on, Brandon Reif? What's going on, CSR listening audience? Dude, Brandon, just when you thought it was going to be a quiet Wednesday where we just probably talk a little hoops between the NBA and college, man. The NFL just kind of took over, man. Please, I can ramble on and on, man, but please give us a rundown of what's going on tonight's show.
Yeah, the last 2 days, the NFL has just kind of taken over and said, college basketball, hold my beer. Let me do some talking. We've got college basketball tonight to talk, the conference tournaments. Big Ten, ACC, SEC, Big East, all of these conference tournaments have started. Some have finished. We've got March Madness craziness already. We got one Pac-12 team that blew a 14-point lead with 3 minutes to go, and now they lost. So we'll talk that. Gonzaga won their tournament. We'll talk that. We've got also, speaking of such, a little housekeeping. This Sunday night, 7 o'clock, we have our Crossroads Sports Selection Sunday show. Well, we're going to talk brackets on Sunday night, 7 p.m., Blog Talk Radio, Facebook Live. We'll talk brackets. We're going to have our Crossroads Sports college basketball guru, Nick Peterson's calling in Sunday night. We're going to sit there and talk college basketball and brackets with him. We're going to talk Purdue tonight, IU. They had a matchup this past weekend. I was there. We're going to talk Big Ten tournament, IU in, IU out, are they on the bubble? We're going to talk that more. Obviously, NFL, huge news out of the NFL. We got so much to talk with that. We got players betting on themselves, getting suspended. We've got Aaron Rodgers and his psychopathness. Is he going to stay? Is he going to go? We've got Russell Wilson, trade news that we're going to talk. My God, Kyler Murray, does he hate Arizona? Love Arizona. We're going to talk some more of that. Some more has transpired without. My God, the biggest news today, Carson Wentz and the Colts. We'll talk that. He is gone out of Indianapolis. Jonathan's going to be a little upset because he's got to go trade in his Carson Wentz jersey now. So we'll calm him down. We'll figure out who the hell the Colts are going to bring in here now as their quarterback. And is everybody really on board after Carson left? So we've got a couple tweets with that that we'll talk about. Other quarterbacks from around the league, NFL-wise, and then I kind of want to give a little shout-out and talk a little Cade Cunningham, Detroit Pistons, because this man has turned it on, John, in the past 10 games late, showing why he's probably going to be Rookie of the Year Detroit Pistons. So all that and more, we've got you. Scott K. Nichols, our State Farm Insurance, shout-out to them, Mavericks Custom Motorsports, and Wiseman Logistics. We've got Mike Kelly down the road. He needs a sports fix. He's going down the highway tonight. We're going to give it to you and more. Season 5, episode 202. Let's get it started, John. Let's dive right in. We can't keep the people waiting anymore. Let's dive in and talk NFL. And I'm going to change it up. Let's talk the biggest news of the day. Indianapolis Colts, was this around, what, 2 o'clock or so? Indianapolis Colts trade Carson Wentz to the Washington Commanders for 2 third-round picks. John, we didn't know if he was going to cut him, if they were going to trade him. Washington comes a-calling. They want to improve from Taylor Heineke. Your thoughts, Carson Wentz to the Commanders. And it's not the XFL.
I don't want to pat myself on the back too hard, man. But I think I said 2 episodes ago that at some point a team that was QB deprived, even more so than the Colts, would come calling for Carson Wentz. So, again, you know what I'm saying, it was a bit of a repair job that the Colts did for career-wise for Carson Wentz, him leaving Philadelphia to come to Indianapolis. All his numbers are, if you look at his numbers, all his numbers are up from his pass numbers, pass QBR, pass percentage, all that. You know what I'm saying? He's not going to ever get back to 2017. Sorry, even the team he's going to, he's not going to ever get back to the Carson Wentz of 2017. That much is clear. But like I said, all his passing, you know what I'm saying, all his passing and his yards is up and his picks are down. All those statistics are up for him. So, you know, so there are teams that still are a little bit more needy in the quarterback department than the Colts. And the Colts, you know what I'm saying, yes, you know what I'm saying, when you look at it today, and do they need more now than they needed ever, especially with Eric Fisher deciding to see, you know what I'm saying, the left tackle Eric Fisher trying to see, you know what I'm saying, what his chances are in free agency. And with Jack Doyle retiring, tight end Jack Doyle retiring just a couple days ago. Yes, the Colts are got a lot of holes to fill, as it would seem, including quarterback now, including quarterback even when Jim Irsay said it a couple weeks ago. So like, nah, man. But like I said, the Washington Commanders, you know, saying a lot of people, you can, you know what I'm saying, can poo-poo what you're getting. But, again, I say go look back at the stats. And if you give Carson Wentz time to throw, can he win some games? Yes. Can he necessarily be the leader of your football team? I think that's a definitive no, because at some point I think he either rubs teammates the wrong way or he rubs coaching staffs and ownership the wrong way or something to that accord. With the Washington Commanders, they have a little bit – they're led more so right by their coach, right? If we can put our minds, you know what I'm saying, on how that team's kind of run. And their defense it kind of leads the way as far as that team is concerned. So he definitely upgraded from what they had. That's nothing against Tyler Heineke or however you pronounce his last name. I don't want to jack up his name if he's listening too hard. But, you know, he's definitely upgraded in that department. I think, Brandon, the Washington Commanders didn't think they were going to be able to get either the two quarterback prospects that they might have had their eyes on, the kid from Liberty or even the kid from Pitt. I don't think they were. I don't think they thought they could get their hands on either of those two guys by the time they come to, by the time that selection comes up. So again, man, you know what I'm saying, what are you, William, and then, you know what I'm saying, what are you supposed to do? So you just kind of wait and see. No, so, you know, the combine kind of combine, that's the, you know what I'm saying, the unveiling right there, grand unveiling. Combine kind of shows where general managers and scouts and whatnot all can not be on conference call and on phone calls. They all kind of get each other's space, and you can kind of see and what offers might be out there and see who would be willing to take up what. Somebody can say, yo, the Philadelphia Eagles, you know what I'm saying, hoodwink the Colts, you know what I'm saying, for a one and a third. That's probably some truth in that. I don't necessarily think that we hoodwinked the Washington Commanders in getting back a second-round pick and a potential third, I think, next year. I think that's how it goes. Or if you pay 70% of the snaps, it goes up to a second. You know what I'm saying? But, again, Washington was right there in a conference, in a division that, you know what I'm saying, if they win two more games, they feel like they're in the playoff hunt. So, you know what I'm saying, Carson Wentz can win you two games. If he kind of just follows, you know what I'm saying, that, if you kind of follow that type of science around what Carson Wentz brings to the table as far as quarterback position, the Washington Commanders are back, right back where they're at. As far as the Colts is concerned, a lot of question marks still got to be answered. Do they trade back into potentially try to trade back up into the first round? Do they potentially, you know what I'm saying, trade with another team to go after a Jimmy Garoppolo or somebody else or even a guy out in Las Vegas that seems to be always with some grumblings about. I don't know. I point back to what there are a lot of holes to fill, and now the Colts have a lot of more. They have a lot more assets now to kind of fill those holes. So I don't know where they go right now. I got my idea, and we can kind of go into that before. But I'll let you, you know what I'm saying, chime in on what your thoughts on it. But like I said, I think it's a win-win for both organizations on this Carson Wentz trade.
Yeah, I think for Washington, it's a good win-win. It's a win for them, the fact they get an upgrade from Taylor Heineke. Carson Wentz, he wasn't bad. Yeah, was he a 500 quarterback? He absolutely was. He had a few. He had some good games. He's had bad. But I think it's going to be interesting. It's going to be funny on the sideline to see Ron Rivera, how he responds when Carson Wentz kind of does his quote-unquote duck ball or the craziness that he always ends up doing at some point throughout the game. it'll be interesting to see how that goes. But I think it's a win for them. You got the contract off of you. Now you're sitting with $69.8 million in cap. That's a league high. So you have the most cap space in the league. You just lost your left tackle. So you're looking at a quarterback. You're looking at a left tackle. You're going to have to fill in the, like you said, the tight end position. Ballard's already said last week that they're going to have to go look at some high-profile wide receivers, because we've talked about that, about how they don't really have a core wide receiver group besides Michael Pittman that's actually, you know, top talent-wise. So you got a lot. So, you know, quarterback-wise, you're like you said, you're kind of looking across the table. Do you do a Mitch Trubisky, who's going to be meeting with the New York Giants here soon? Trubisky might be going to the Giants, they're saying. Do you look at our boy, Jimmy G, out in a trade from San Francisco, who's going to be coming? Do you look at – here's the thing with Jimmy G, I kind of feel like – and you've got Jimmy D and you got Carson Wentz, they're kind of like the same player. You know, and people are going to say, well, hey, Brandon, Jimmy G got the 49ers to the NFC Championship. And you know what? Yes, he did. But also, he had a good group around him, John. He had a great defense. If you're going to sit there and tell me the Colts defense matches up with the San Francisco defense and that personnel, you're absolutely mistaken. The San Francisco defense was great. They got great edge rushers. They got a great secondary. There's pieces around already for Jimmy G to be successful. Jimmy G's not, he'll be the type that'll say, hey, you want to run the ball 60 times in the game and I only need to do six passes like you did in the NFC Championship? Fine, let's do that. You know, he's not going to check out of a run play, I'll tell you that much. He didn't do it all last year. I almost think they're almost the same. So the Colts aren't really getting an upgrade if they decide to go after Jimmy G, who's obviously coming after off an injury with surgery. So you're going to take a chance if you'd go that route. I just read a report this evening that said the Colts are willing to give Sam Ehlinger a run to be the starting quarterback next year. I don't know how I feel about that either. Can you get enough pieces to kind of have a subpar quarterback? And it kind of depends what the Colts are looking to do next year. Are you looking to win a Super Bowl? Are you looking to win a division? Are you looking to make the playoffs? Where's the glass ceiling? So I think they got to decide that, what they want to do, and then they can go out and see what. You don't want to overpay for a quarterback. Do you go out and get Jordan Love from Green Bay? Chris Ballard loved Jordan Love in training or in the scouting. He said he would love to have Jordan Love on his team. He wanted to draft him. Does he go out and get Jordan Love now, the fact that Aaron Rodgers is back for four more years, quote-unquote 4 years? We'll see how long it really is. But do you go out and get Jordan Love now? I like the fact that the Colts have plenty of pieces. They have plenty of options, movable, tangible options now to go for the quarterback position, to go for the skilled player positions. And we're going to see what happens. This is almost like a freebie now for Frank and Chris to put their chips on the table and say, hey, let's go out and get somebody. You know, we've got the money. Spend it. First they obviously want to spend it. Go out and spend it.
Right.
Funny, real quick, last thing. Carson Wentz and the Commanders, I looked at the schedule. They come to Lucas Oil Stadium next year. So they come to Indy. And that'll be his big game. He'll hook for like 350.
Yeah, so you don't want to be, I don't know what week that is, so you don't want to be behind, you know, saying 2-2 or 2-3 or whatever that they could potentially be.
Hold on.
Saying? You don't want to be behind, you know, behind the gun, so it is. So you want to be up in the saddle. I don't know, Brandon. I think the Colts do what Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots did two seasons ago. Remember when they had a big spending spree and they spent on the defense, and they spent on the offense, and they really didn't have no disrespect to Cam, they really didn't have a quarterback that
you
rub two quarters it with and guarantee you get you 10 wins or 11 wins, right? I think they bring in a stopgap quarterback. Unless Jim Irsay has, you know what I'm saying, really wants to go and push it to the limit and spend up to or even pass the threshold of the salary cap, for a dynamic. But again, like a lot of the quarterback dominoes are kind of already fallen, haven't they? So with Aaron Rodgers signing the mega deal in Green Bay and the trade with the Broncos in Seattle, like all the quarterbacks that potentially are out there, with the exception of Tom Brady, and that's, again, that ain't gonna happen. Him coming out of retirement to play for the Colts. but like again, so I don't know. I really think that's what they kind of do though, Brown. I think they do what the blueprint that New England did: spend money on skill position players, and next year when the quarterback crop in 2023 is a little bit better, a lot better. We know this, you know what I'm saying? You saw it in the national championship game. You know the quarterback play, and in some of the bowl games, we saw the quarterback play is definitely going to be better. Quarterback, you know what I'm saying, selection is going to be better in 2023. You know what I'm saying? I think they wait and get the guy that they want. And not,
is it enough to keep the job of Ballard and Frank?
Yeah, because again, the owner shot his mouth off. So maybe if the owner, okay, all right, sorry, if Jim Irsay is listening, maybe, you know what I'm saying, if you want to play cards with Jim Irsay, like blackjack or poker, that's why Texas Hold'em, you know what I'm saying, I suggest it, man, because he's going to tell you everything that he's got in his hand, you know what I'm saying? So if you wanted to get max value for your quarterback, who I just said had a repair season, and if you didn't like him, you should have just kind of shut up, and you probably could have got a little bit more than what you got, because once he said that or put out the feelers that they wasn't, you know what I'm saying, either through the media or through his Twitter account, that he particularly wasn't necessarily feeling Carson Wentz, it was lucky that they got what they got for him in the trade.
Right.
You know, so again, like I said, man, we look at the map, you know what I'm saying, the staff is still good enough depending on who the quarterback is. And so again, hold on, Brandon. And before, I know I'm kind of gung-ho. I'm thinking that that's what the Raptors are going to go with as far as New England, that blueprint New England did in like the last two seasons, and now the way they go, right? There's also some quarterbacks that are probably going to fall in that 2-3 round range that some of the scouts have said accuracy issues, you know what I'm saying, or it might be why they wouldn't be in the first round, you know what I'm saying, type of conversation. But if – and I think he is, man. I think Frank Reich is the quarterback whisperer. If he can make a second round pick or third round pick look like a first round pick, you know what I'm saying, with this offensive line, because again, we have a great offensive line, we have great running backs here, you know what I'm saying, take pressure off rookie quarterbacks, I think they might even go that route where you see, like you said, Sam Ehlinger also competing with, I don't know, the quarterback potentially from Cincinnati. Let's say he falls into the second round, which has kind of been projected, because nobody really has, not even Mel Kiper, not even Todd McShay, has him really in their first round picks of
right.
Day one. He's like a day two, day three. So if he's day two, day three, the court dude, you know what I'm saying? We've seen him play in some big time games. Was it so? And I get it. He didn't look necessarily special in Alabama, but again, you know, so Alabama goes three deep in the NFL. In NFL defensive line and three deep in offensive line, so could have been some of the pieces around him. You know what I'm saying? They could they have played better to give him some more time to make that game a little bit better? So I don't know. Again, man, because like you said, Brandon, the Colts have a lot of pieces to fill: tight end, wideout support, quarterback, left tackle. They can't just go packaging up these two picks that they have that they just got from Washington and then go flip it onto another quarterback without having, again, who's going to protect this new quarterback's left side? Who's this quarterback throwing to now that Jack Doyle, who really wasn't necessarily, again, I don't want to talk about the man, you know what I'm saying, since he just retired, super solid guy on and off the field, but not necessarily, you know what I'm saying, top, when you talk about the top 25 tight ends, you never mention Jack Doyle's name. Right, not in any type of category. So again, they have a lot of holes that they have to fill. I think they use the picks to fill the holes. I think they use the money to spend and fill the holes. And I think, you know what I'm saying, if a quarterback is there in the second or third round, you know what I'm saying, I think they pull the trigger and get them.
Okay. Looking real quick, I want to go back to Washington side real quick, John. I think they're the second best team in the East now. I do. I think adding Carson Wentz to that program, they have the second-best quarterback in that division.
Right.
They've got a running
right.
game with Antoine Gibson coming back from injury. They've got a wide receiver with Scary Terry out there, a true number one now, that Carson can throw to. That Washington defense with Chase Young out there, Washington, I think, immediately goes to number two in the NFC East. Could be even number one with Dallas kind of losing, getting rid of Cooper. And what mm-hmm. kind of offense are you looking at for this Dallas? I think it was a smart move for Washington, and it kind of moves them up in the NFC East and gives them a shot for the division now. I like the move they made and how they kind of, you know, it's not – I mean, it's not surgery, but it's a Band-Aid over that position.
Right, right. Like I said, I think they were like two games out. I could be wrong on that. I think they were like two games out of missing the playoffs last year. And again, it kind of came down. It didn't come down to their defense, right? It kind of came down to quarterback play. Did you have a guy that could win you a couple ball games? Again, if we think about what Carson Wentz did or didn't do in a Colts uniform, did he lay an egg? Yes, the last two games, especially against the Raiders and against the Jaguars. Yes. But there were some good games, good to B minus games that he played. Like I say, week after Cobwebs got, you know what I'm saying, shaken off after the third, fourth week, after week three, right? I say between week three and week six, I think that was the best incarnation of Carson Wentz in a Colts uniform that we had. I think it's a win-win for both organizations.
Okay. Looking around news and notes, and actually my buddy on Twitter, he actually, liked a couple tweets I had last night. I woke up this morning and saw, but we're going to do some breaking news. Breaking news from the NFL, from Sean King. Sean King, the former Tampa Bay Buccaneers quarterback who now works for VSiN, who is friends and was on the same team as Mike Tomlin when Tomlin was in Tampa Bay back in the early 2000s as well. Hearing if things go well this Friday, Deshaun Watson traded to the Steelers soon after. So this Friday is going to be the grand jury thing and deciding if they're going to pursue criminal charges
what?
Or not. And he is saying that he's staring and hearing if things go well Friday that Deshaun Watson will be getting traded to the Pittsburgh Steelers. A couple second-round picks and a third-round pick could be involved.
Well, I knew – not to be a smart mark totally. I knew Deshaun Watson was going to get traded at some point this year. There's no way the Texans was going to let him sit for another year. That type of talent on the NFL. I won't even say this to Texans. There's no way the NFL was just going to let that type of talent just sit, you know what I'm saying, with nothing, regardless. I honestly think they know what's going on. Come on, man. The NFL has had time to look into this. The local police station, you know what I'm saying, local police have had time to look into this, the matters of what it has, the allegations and whatnot. If you think about the turn time they had to what's our guy's name, who just got suspended from the Atlanta Falcons. If you think about the turn time that he got, yeah, they really, if you think about the turn, like, dude, they kind of know, you know what I'm saying, what Deshaun Watson has been involved in. So, again, man, it's probably going to be to whatever bid they can get, whatever best bid they can get. I had heard there was rumblings about the Carolina Panthers wanting, but if the Steelers are the place to be, then let the Deshaun Watson era begin in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I think that'd be a good. God, I mean, shit, anything would be better than Mason Rudolph or Dwayne Haskins era that we're about to walk right in the door with. A little more insight on the Deshaun Watson from Sean King is Friday is the grand jury will decide if he can be criminally charged or not. Women from the civil case are subpoenaed to appear before the grand jury. The Deshaun Watson will come out of this either being criminally charged plus still having his civil cases, or he will not be criminally charged but will still have to face his civil cases. If it goes that route, expect him to be traded there soon after. And the Pittsburgh Steelers are one of the leading contenders right now for him. So we'll see. Can the man play football? Is he a good football player? Absolutely. Do I agree the shit he did off the field? No, not at all. But, right. You know, that's what these court cases are for, these civil lawsuits to kind of work themselves out. I just thought it was interesting that Sean King – and real Sean King, yeah, he liked a couple of tweets I had last night. I was talking about Apple. Apple's looking to buy the NFL Sunday ticket. I mean, I'm all for it if they want to buy that Sunday ticket. I always said it needs to be out to the masses a little bit more than just DirecTV and stuff. And right. You expect Apple's probably going to make you pay out the butt, probably $400 for the Sunday ticket, I'm guessing, if they do it. So it'll be interesting to see if this really happens. Sean King was with Mike Tomlin. He's close friends with Mike Tomlin. He's made that known in the past. He mentioned it later on this afternoon, probably about 4:30 or so, I'm seeing that. He said if things go well Friday, Deshaun Watson to the Steelers is happening soon after. So we will see. Some other stuff, John. Aaron Rodgers, he's going back. He announced going back to the Packers. 4 years, $200 million. It comes out to about $50 million per year. John, we weren't sure if he was going to come back at all. And, in fact, he signs a four-year deal. Only thing I could think of was, I'm sorry, Bears fans. Like, your new coach, like, he's got to deal with, I mean, damn near the whole length of contract, he's got to deal with Aaron Rodgers again.
You would have to rub it in to the Bears fans, man. Before we get on Aaron Rodgers, I think the Bears are going to be a little bit better next year if they address their offensive line issues and receiver issues. Kind of sounds similar to what the coaches do, right? But, like, no, man, so Packers, like, so when the news came before, so when that news dropped on Tuesday, right, officially, so, like, the day before, there was a whole lot of speculation, right, about what Aaron Rodgers was going to agree. Like, the Packers had come with the money. Basically, that's what they said. They hadn't come up with the numbers. I was like, man, I'm thinking, like, maybe it's going to be something ridiculous. But I didn't know how ridiculous it really was going to be. So $153 million contract, $200 million overall, $153 million of it is guaranteed. My guy Aaron Rodgers could play 2 years, and he still gets $153 million.
Regardless. I like it.
You can like it, but you can also nitpick at it, as I'm getting ready to do right now. So Davis, the wideout that Aaron Rodgers, you know what I'm saying, kind of campaigned for, to get to the Green Bay Packers, is now on the franchise tag. I don't know, you know what I'm saying,
Adams.
Adams. I'm sorry, I said Devontae Davis. Same on me. Devontae Adams. So, like, same on me. So Adams, I would assume, was probably looking for a longer-term contract. Listen, I mean, again, the franchise tag is not necessarily the death penalty or nailing your coffin. You're going to get, you know what I'm saying, the average of what the highest paid point, right, of whatever wide receivers make for that particular year. So he'll get a king's ransom for like 1 year. I think that's how it works, right? A king's ransom for 1 year, and then they had to figure out, you know what I'm saying, a longer-term contract for him the following year, or they could potentially even tag him again where he'd still be making. I remember when the crazy quarterback from the Vikings did it for like 3 years in a row, and he was with the Washington Generals, then the Redskins or whatever. What's his name? I can't remember his name. Dude, you know what I'm talking about. You can get the franchise. You can only have the franchise tag so many times.
Right.
Brandon, what's going to happen, though, with the Green Bay Packers is that they're also going to have to let some folks go because I don't necessarily think that makes him a lesser team. It's going to make put more responsibility on Aaron Rodgers and add the playmakers of the team to make plays. Again, they've come up short, Brandon. So you know what I'm saying? When's the last time Aaron Rodgers won a Super Bowl?
2010.
Right? Everybody said it was Mike McCarthy that was holding Aaron Rodgers back?
Yep.
So what's the problem? Mike McCarthy ain't been with the Green Bay Packers in how many years now, right? So hopefully, Aaron Rodgers, wealth beyond his wildest dreams, right? Wealth beyond top of wealth again. The wide out gets his money. You know what I'm saying? King's ransom for 1 year, right? They got to win the Super Bowl, Brandon. I said this last year too, right? They got to win the Super Bowl. They can't have this. Well, we're hosting the NFC Championship game, and then come up lame. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's inexcusable. And then the year before, it was on the road, and they still came up lame. You know what I'm saying? So right. a lot of this contract is from, like, you know what I'm saying, what Aaron Rodgers means to the Green Bay Packers, right? That's what it kind of, you know what I'm saying? Again, I can't contract, but, like, he has to get it done. And, again, the older he gets, the shorter the window is going to be. And then, honestly, Brandon, if they don't win and the older he does get, that team is going to be hampered by that contract. You know what I'm saying? So yep. So again, there was a lot of pressure on, you think about Matt Stafford when he went to the Rams, and the Rams winning the Super Bowl. The same, like I said, Aaron Rodgers is two years running where, you know what I'm saying, he's kissed, you know what I'm saying, he's ready to kiss the baby and go to the Super Bowl, go to the promised land, and for whatever reason, the team has come up short either on his play or on his play. Because correct me if I'm wrong, Brandon, they didn't have an offensive touchdown in the fourth quarter at all. Of the NFC Championship, not the NFC Championship, but of their game that they had at Lambeau Field. So, I know. Congrats, Aaron Rodgers. The pressure is on. There you go.
I just saw a stat to rewind for the Indianapolis Colts, John. I want you to take this in. The Colts have spent $107.9 million on quarterbacks in the last 3 years. It is the most salary cap space used on quarterbacks in the NFL over that time frame. Zero division titles, zero playoff wins, one playoff appearance. $107.9 million in quarterbacks the last 3 years.
Yep.
So, jarring. It's jarring to see that.
Why is it so jarring when you find a great quarterback, a special quarterback, like nobody in your front office or nobody in your fan base wants that person to go? So how long was Big Ben in Pittsburgh? 16 seasons?
18 years.
Right?
18 years.
18 years, right. How long was Brett Favre prior to Aaron Rodgers, right, with the Green Bay Packers, how special he was? And then they luck up and get Aaron Rodgers, Peyton Manning, same thing with Indiana, with the Colts. And then the Colts kind of look foolish a little bit anyway when they let him go and he goes on to become, you know what I'm saying, wins another MVP and wins another Super Bowl. Shame on the Colts, you know what I mean? I get it, Andrew Luck, I get it, right? But
right.
But again, man, quarterbacks, though quarterbacks can play, all of them ain't special. So if you have to burn through money, to look through, because again, man, a lot of times people don't want to hear about Andrew Luck retiring, but he was special. He was.
Right.
He retired. So again, how are you going to, you know what I'm saying, unless you tank, right? Unless you tank put yourself in position to win four games, you're not going to get, and knowing that, you know what I'm saying, what the lay of the land looks like as far as quarterbacks coming to the league, you know. Last year would have been the year to tank when we had Phillip Rivers, and you could have potentially got an audience with whatever the, you know what I'm saying, the quarterback,
right,
the quarterback, you know what I'm saying. So again, man, I don't really, man. Again, they just paid Aaron Rodgers $200 million, and he won a quarter, and he won a Super Bowl win in 2010. Is that what you're telling me? 10 years ago?
Yep.
So like, man, I don't really trip, man. Like a lot of times, man, our good friend, Jackass, Dan Dockage, always reminds how much they pay. Yeah, you mean call me an idiot. It's okay. I can call him a jackass. He also reminds me, we just paid so-and-so $25 million. Same stats you just posted up. We just paid Luck $25 million. We just paid out Rivers X amount of money. Again, man, the Colts are looking for their guy. They might spend, you know what, they might get Tyler Huntley, the Ravens back up, to come in here for $10 million for 2 years, and you know what, he'd be a stopgap quarterback until they can. Okay, Brandon, I'm gonna lose my mind. Wouldn't you rather right now? Wouldn't you rather have if you? I know. Put your coach, general manager hat on. If you could draft C.J. Stroud or Bryce Young, wouldn't you rather have that problem than trying to figure out if Tyler Huntley fits your system, or if Mariota fits your system, or if this guy can still play? Of course you would.
As long as I have it in writing from Jim Irsay that I won't get fired before then.
All right, but right, I see what you're saying. But so again, man, when those two guys become available, that's when you'll know the world will be set on fire, and
right.
you'll see teams lining up to draft those guys. Until then, all these guys in this quarterback pool, you know what I'm saying, whether it's Fitzmagic, Tyler Huntley, or Mariota, those guys are just stopgap guys.
Okay.
And you can win games with them. You can't win it all. You can't win the big one with them, unfortunately.
Okay. Sounds good.
Guys are idiots. In Three Foolish Men, I put you right in that category.
God, I'm watching this Butler game. Damn it. I got Butler plus 4.5. They're down 4 with 40 seconds to go to Xavier. First round of
Come
the
on,
Big East
Butler.
Tournament. Come on, Butler. You were up, and Xavier's went on 11-2 run during this last 10 minutes, or this last 10 minutes of watching this, and it's a disaster for the Bulldogs. So I'm hoping they can cover this spread. We'll see. Scott Nichols, let's go. Let's take Butler. John, I want to go across to the Pacific Northwest, where I was shocked. I was for certain. Wait a minute. Actually, didn't I call this? I believe I called Russell Wilson going to the Denver Broncos on a previous episode. I'm pretty sure I did.
I give it to you. I thought all fair was in love and kisses and whatnot with the Seattle Seahawks and Russell, but I guess that wasn't the case, man. And now him and the two kids and Sierra they're gonna be in Denver now, man. So good luck. That's what I'll say. I don't think Russell Wilson cares about competition. You know what I'm saying? As far as the AFC West is concerned, you know what I mean? Yeah, he's come from a very competitive conference. You know what I'm saying? In the NFC West itself, but
damn it,
it just kind of depends on what they put around, what they use, what they have left to use as far as free agency. And what, I mean, they got wide out there,
right.
So. We know that Russell's going to be throwing a whole lot to those guys. They got to figure out in Denver. They got to figure out their defensive pieces. Since they lost Von Miller, they also got to probably figure out their running back situation as well. So, I can't say it's a marginal move. Seattle's going to miss Russell Wilson. They are. They are in a rebuild mode. I wouldn't be surprised if the Seahawks win less than 3 games next year.
Yeah, so you look at that, John. They traded Russell Wilson, the Broncos, for tight end Noah Fant, quarterback Drew Lock, 2 future first-round picks, 2 future second-round picks, and a 5th-round pick. My God, Seattle got a ransom. They got a haul, absolutely. Now, what can they turn with it? Now you look at Seattle. Seattle's kind of looking for a quarterback now. So what do they do? Do they get into Deshaun Watson sweepstakes possibly? Do they draft a quarterback looking at a Kenny Pickett or a Malik Willis in the draft? It's going to be interesting to see now, because teams that we didn't think would be involved in it now are going to be involved in these trades or in these looking for quarterbacks. So
right.
Interesting to see what happens with it. Oh, my God. Xavier's just missed 4 straight free throws. Butler's still down by 4 with 30 seconds to go. My head is spinning on this 4.5 right now. God, come on, Butler. One time. Lavelle Jordan, your last game of the year. Let's go.
Might be the last game in Butler's coach. Might be.
Yeah, well, that's what I was saying, yeah. But I do. I think I called it. Some people called me crazy 3 or 4 or 5 episodes ago when I talked about Russell Wilson. I said, don't be surprised if he ends up being a Denver Bronco. I'm pretty sure I called that. That's like LeBron James-esque call that I had, but I'll take it.
Oh, wow.
Remember, and then the last one I have NFL note-wise, John, Calvin Ridley. In and out of the lineup last year, personal problems going on and such, and then a bombshell got dropped on Monday that he is suspended for the entire 2022 season for sports betting on their own Falcons. Can't do that. Big no-no.
Yeah. Huge no-no. And it was like $1,500.
Yeah. It was a parlay, 18 parlay.
Was it really even worth it, man? You know, I can't – there's no way I can defend his actions. You know what I'm saying? It's in the rules to keep the integrity of the game. I get it. Tom Brady is an endorser of FanDuel. I get it, Phil. You know what I'm saying? Encourages sports betting. We have Win Terry's money from Fox by every week. You know what I'm saying? So, you know what I'm saying? Fox has, you know what I'm saying, all types of little – we have all types of deals the NFL has with whatever gambling site. But that doesn't mean as a player, as a coach, as a, hell, even as an owner, I would assume that you can, you know what I'm saying, get yourself involved in that, you know what I'm saying. Just because, you know what I'm saying, you don't know what kind of conversations you had that you could potentially have with the next man or coach or whatever. Or they just don't want it. Ultimately, that's what it is. They just don't want it. So, I know there was a people like Cry For Me Argentina. They were trying to compare it to Ray Rice, you know what I'm saying, slamming his girlfriend. At the time, they're trying to compare it to some of the other egregious things that the NFL kind of turned a different eye to, towards or whatever. But, again, integrity of the game, you know what I'm saying? That's important, whether it's Major League Baseball, basketball, you know what I'm saying, or in this case, the NFL, you know what I'm saying, defraud the public, defrauding, you know what I'm saying, with public funds. Like, nobody, that's no good for anybody. So I don't have a problem. Somebody, you know, a lot of folks said, well, why did he have to give his whole season? Because they don't want anybody to try to even follow in his footsteps, to try to even be a copycat. Because the next guy, he only bet $1,500. I only bet $10. Well, I shouldn't lose. But if you bet right on the NFL, like, they say no. They say no, don't do it. No, don't do it. So does the punishment fit the crime? I'm going to say absolutely yes. You lose your season. It is what it is.
John Butler just hit two free throws, down two, and an offensive foul on Xavier trying to take the ball out of bounds. Butler's ball, down two, 28 and a half seconds to go. I might have to do my play-by-play voice here. Let's see if the Bulldogs.
There you go.
What? The guy pushed off, and, offensive foul. We're going to have some magic late here in the Garden. We're going to see what's going to happen. I'm going to have to live do this if they're not looking at the replay. Let's see here.
If we only had Gordon Hayward to hit a three.
Or Shelvin Mack.
Sure.
Looks like they're talking. So until they get going back again, I'm gonna go until I have to do my play-by-play. Ridley, you can't really do that. It's even like you said, you got to set a standard. It can't be $10. You know, where's the end of it? How do you – and it's bad time because that's all the NFL does now. Everything you see, there's stadiums, there's club sections being named after sports books. The NFL has a sports book tie with DraftKings and them. So I just wonder – and he had a $1,500 parlay is what it was, and he didn't even win on it. So it's I want to know who ratted on him. Was it his bookie? Was it an offshore book? It had to be an offshore book.
Got in contact with the NFL. Yeah.
I wonder just what the rules are for players. Are there, like, what about their wives? Are they allowed to sports bet? Wink, wink. Are they allowed to create accounts? Is cousins, long lost cousins and uncles allowed to, like, how do they track that to know that it's, no, it's Jonathan Birdsong placing the bets for Jonathan Birdsong, not Jonathan Birdsong placing the bets for Calvin Ridley. You see what I mean? So,
well, Mark, our guy wasn't even that smart. He did it directly from his own phone.
Oh, I know. Yeah, it came away. So here we go. Butler taking the ball out of bounds, 28 and a half seconds to go. Inbound play to Bryce Golden. Golden busts it to the point guard, top of the key, drives to the basket, goes for two, got it. Butler ties the game, 23 seconds to go. Butler ties it at 66. Here comes Xavier. They're not going to call a timeout. They're going to run a play here. Middle of the court. We're down to 15 seconds to go. Just standing around, a little spacing. We're down to 10 seconds. We're going to start playing. Here we go. He drives to the basket. Oh, my goodness. And one foul.
Off,
a whoop-de-doo shot by our Scruggs for Xavier. Xavier takes a two-point lead. with 6 seconds to go with a chance to go up by three on Butler. What a shot. That was such a circus shot by Scruggs, who in the last 2 minutes has hit some ridiculous, ridiculous shots. So Scruggs, can he hit? He missed two free throws a little bit ago, so I don't know if he's going to be able. He needs to hit this one. It'll still be a one-possession game for the Bulldogs. I don't know how many timeouts they got left, but they're going through the replays right now. Butler's just had a bad year, John. Just a bad overall year, we said. Down to 8 seconds. Okay, so you got 8 seconds. They got plenty of time to get the ball at the court. Chuck Harris, the leading scorer, who had 29 points for Butler, he just fouled out. Not good when your leading scorer just fouled out. Chuck Harris, who could shoot the three. I feel like they're going to probably have to go to Bryce Golden for three here. Let me ask you this while we're waiting for this free throw. Do you subscribe to the theory of fouling when you're up by three? That way it's a two-pointer. Here we go. They missed it.
Ooh.
Here comes Butler down the court. 5 seconds, 4 seconds. They called a foul. They called a foul at half court. Scruggs fouled the Butler player at half court with 4 seconds to go. Butler is in the bonus. So Butler's going to get two free throws, a chance to tie the game. He fouled him 40 feet from the basket for no reason.
Mm.
You hate to see it. You hate to see it. And now he's obviously complaining. So good Scruggs, bad Scruggs. So here we go. Butler, two free throws to tie. 4 seconds left. I feel like we're going to have a March Madness crazy moment here soon. And Scruggs has fouled out himself. So while we're doing this whole timeout, John, do you subscribe to that theory of down three fouling, or do you like to play it out?
No, I'll play it out. You know what I'm saying? Trusting your defense. You know, I get it. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to go crazy, but things can crazy happen at the free throw line. You know what I'm saying? They could. The tip ball, you get tip back out, you don't get the offensive rebound, you don't get the rebound, the other team gets the offensive rebound, 8-3, and you still lose.
Right.
So, like, no, I'm for playing it out, trusting your defense. That's
Lucas Shoish is up for Butler, 90% free throw shooter. He's 5 for 5 today. Your best free throw shooter is at the line. I probably just did jinx him. That's the line. Two dribbles, bends the knee, puts the shot up, and it's good. So Butler down by one, one free throw left. 5 seconds left. They put some time on the clock. Here we go. He dribbles twice, bends the knee, throws a shot up, and it's good. Ooh, it was close. Here we go. Xavier taking the ball out. 5 seconds to go. They get it at the free throw. Not a steal. He shoots a three wide open. Missed it. We're going to overtime. Butler, Xavier. Big East Tournament, Madison Square Garden. We're going to overtime. Here we go. This is March, John, and that's what I want to dive right into. This is March, the greatest time of the year. We've got the NCAA tournament coming up. We've got conference tournaments going on right now. Before we dive into the conference tournaments itself, we gotta talk about the elephant in the room. John, our Duke Blue Devils. Our Duke Blue Devils. Coach K's last home game. What the hell happened?
Well, I'm waiting for our good buddy, good betting buddy, and advisor, Tanner Penrod, to call in, because we have in North Carolina, Rudy, you know what I'm saying, fan. Wait for him to call in, if you know what I'm saying, but. Because we haven't heard too much from North Carolina. Great rivalry games are always, you know what I'm saying, unpredictable. If you recall, the first meeting that Duke played this year, when Duke played North Carolina in North Carolina in Chapel Hill, they blew them out by 20. Duke blew them out by 20, right. Dog walked them. There was no controversy around handshaking or anything like that. They was actually, right. I thought North Carolina actually was pretty you know what I'm saying? They brought the red carpet for Coach K, but they were pretty, you know, there was a lot of pictures and whatnot taken, a lot of handshaking, you know what I'm saying? Hell, even Roy Williamson came back out and you know what I'm saying, and wished Mike Krzyzewski well. This particular time, like, man, you know, the rivalry really came out, and North Carolina, we got the best incarnation of North Carolina that we've had, that we've seen kind of like all year. It's not that – it's weird. It's a weird year for North Carolina, right, Brandon? They haven't necessarily been ranked all year. They took a nice little L against the Purdue Boilermakers earlier in the year. And at one point, they were like undefeated at home. Well, like, you
right.
know what I'm saying, like 10-0 at home, and still, for whatever reason, you know what I'm saying, the schedule makers, whatever, you know what I'm saying, didn't have them in the top 25, or they were the bottom part of the top 25. I don't know why, you know what I'm saying. Everybody plays cupcakes, you know what I'm saying, so I don't know why they were holding that against North Carolina. But again, back to this game, Duke doesn't necessarily have a guy. They have a lot of talent. They have a lot of talent that we're going to see potentially in the next 2-3 seasons, uh-huh. maybe even on the Pacers team that's going to be littered, you know what I'm saying, through the NBA at some point. But they don't necessarily have an on-the-floor leader. You know what I'm saying? There's not necessarily that guy that anybody can remember. There's not necessarily that guy, you know what I'm saying, like a Grant Hill that's definitive, or Bobby Hurley or Christian Laettner, you know what I'm saying, or Jason Williams, you know what I'm saying? This pulls the team together and says, "Yo, let's get a basket. Hey, let's put a nail in these guys." There's not a guy like that. It might be indicative of why Coach K is retiring. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of been like that for the last 3 seasons. He's been able to acquire talent. You know what I'm saying? One of those McDonald's All
Americans. Let's go, Butler.
He's cheering for Butler now.
Butler's up 5. Butler's up 5.
You better not let them know about that in West Lafayette.
I know.
Did you cheer for
I got
Butler
a point on this.
But, like, no, man, they just don't have the guy to pull. And then it was, you know what I'm saying, you know, the game went from being real close where Duke was up at some point, and then you know, like maybe a 2 or 4 point lead that North Carolina got out of the half. We went, and it got real ugly real fast. So, and, you know what I'm saying, it kind of put a big poo-poo on Coach K's last game. You know what I'm saying? So I watched it from beginning to end. Unfortunately, I had to watch the ending of the Texas-Kansas game before ESPN turned over to Duke and North Carolina. But, nah, man, I think the Blue Devils will be fine going into the ACC tournament. I definitely think they're going to be fine going into the tournament. But, again, I don't think that they just don't have the leadership just yet. On this team, it's something they can rectify in a short time, but they just don't have the leadership right now.
Okay, I've got Duke on the 2 seed right now for the NCAA tournament. I've got them in the West region, so I've got them in the same region right now as Gonzaga. Duke is a 2 seed. My other 2 seeds, I mean, my 1 seeds are gone, and we'll talk about that. But I've got them as 2 seeds with Kansas, Kentucky. And Kansas, Kentucky, and Purdue. I think Purdue is solidly at least a 3 seed. We'll talk Purdue in a second. Yeah, mm-hmm. I just thought, you know, granted, for the Duke Blue Devils, it was quote-unquote senior day, which I don't think Duke ever has senior day, really, because, I mean, they didn't even have a senior day celebration. It was all about Coach K. So, but that's a lot to live up to, John. In his last home game, you don't want to screw it up, and I think the pressure just got to the kids. I think it was bulletin board material for Hubert Davis and Carolina. Like you said, it's rivalry games. I'm going to put a spin zone on this, John. I think this loss, maybe it helps Duke in the long run. I think maybe it helps him out. I don't know. We'll see. It wasn't a good look for the fan base, I'll tell you that. And I didn't get to watch the game, but I kept following it, and I said, what the hell? And I sent you the text. I said, what the hell is going on in Cameron
yeah.
Indoor?
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens with that. I think our boy, probably Tanner, he probably forgot we were doing the show tonight. So, but you got to expect that from somebody that likes North Carolina. Their mental mentality kind of goes away. So.
Oh, man.
Yeah. John, looking at conference tournaments, I want to dive in. If you're watching the Facebook Live, we're putting the brackets up, if I can find it. First bracket, I want to talk Big Ten tournament, John. Big Ten tournament started about a half hour ago. We've got Nebraska and Northwestern. Nebraska, John, has played very well this last month. In the beginning of March, they've been playing well.
Yep.
They end up beating Wisconsin. They've beaten Ohio State. They're doing great things there. I actually have Nebraska. I think they can beat Northwestern tonight and go on. You've
right.
got that. The other matchup, you got Penn State, Minnesota in the nightcap tonight. Indiana Hoosiers, John, tomorrow, 11:30, Indiana Hoosiers, Michigan Wolverines. Winner of that game is going to take on the Fighting Illini, who's the number one seed. Thoughts on Indiana, Michigan. I like Indiana to win this game. I know you're going to be shocked. You're shocked I said that. I like Indiana to win this one against Michigan tomorrow.
Indiana, they're odd, man. I'm going to say this team, this is not – I'm not saying nobody on the team is dumb. The team as a total unit doesn't have a high basketball IQ, if that makes sense. So very hostile environment they had in West Lafayette this past weekend. I know you were there. We want to hear about that in depthly. But they had a chance to win that game, because it was tug of war, right?
Mr. Flop.
Very end, Xavier, again, you got the hot, you got the ball in the guy you want to take the shot, Xavier Johnson. I know that's crazy. I know the folks
in
Wilmington.
Do you? Do you though?
What's that?
I feel like I'd want the ball in Trace Jackson Davis's hands over Xavier Johnson in the game.
Nah, Trace Jackson Davis kind of shrinks in the big moments, man.
I'm sorry, man.
Unless you can play through Trace Jackson Davis through the course of the game and live off, that buffet. But this was crunch time. Can Trace Jackson Davis, so again, Brandon, I know you give me a little bit back. Can Trace Jackson Davis hit you a jumper? Can you that you trust? No. They ran a the hot hand, the guy he had with the ball in his hand was Xavier Johnson. When we saw him at the Hoosier Classic earlier this year, we were like, "Oh my God, this dude got a green light!" And why? That was the
right.
big, that was what we had. Like, why does he have the green light? Well, coach has a lot of faith in him, and probably sees a little bit more intimately than you or I. In practice and whatnot, and he believes in him. And he can. He is the kind of guy that can shoot you into ball games and win you ball games when he's When the shot's going in. When the shot's not going in, it's time to pass. But, again, this particular evening when he was playing Purdue, he was engaged and the shot was going in. Just the last second, the shot that he had, there was a better shot that could be made. There was more time on the clock, and you could have ran a little bit more offense. I know, we're talking like a difference between 2 seconds or so. But, again.
And you had to win the coaching, too. Mike Woodson had no timeouts.
Right, had no timeouts at the end.
I did not spend the final 4 minutes of the game with no timeouts.
Right. So it was a bad, poor decision. You're trying to make the referees call a foul when you're initiating the contact, and then Hunter didn't even foul it.
No, he didn't. I have a video of that I took, and I slow-mo'd it, and he wasn't even close.
Yeah. So it was just – it was the right guy, wrong play. And like I said, the basketball IQ of the Indiana Hoosiers perplexes me. Probably perplexes the coach as well. They got to play smart, Brandon. They got to not turn the ball over. They got to take. They have to play through at least two quarters, right? First half, through Trace Jackson Davis. Make sure because he's the most athletic guy they have on the team. I just don't think he's clutch. They have the ability to blow out teams or to put big leads on teams. We saw them put big leads on Eastern Michigan. We saw them put big leads on Helmut Perron. They had a big lead on not Wisconsin. They had a big lead on and let it wilt on them.
Maryland,
Illinois,
Minnesota,
Maryland. Yeah, thank you. They let it wilt. Thank you. Big leads. They let wilt all through. That was kind of like their calling card all year. Like they can run. They run, play good offense, and then they said, "Oh man, we can take our foot off the gas pedal." And then the other team kind of comes back, and either they walk out barely, or they lose the game. And unfortunately, they lost more games this year than they walked out barely. So if they can learn from those mistakes, Brandon, and potentially get to the Big Ten championship, I know it's a tall task beating Michigan and beating Illinois. They got that's the tall task. Michigan, I would give them, but it's at home. Right, it's in your home crowd. I know it ain't Bloomington, but it's Indianapolis. That Indianapolis is a Indianapolis is a Hoosier Kansas City. It is what it is. Sorry, Boilermaker fans, listen to me right now. Indianapolis is a Hoosier city.
John, their track record's not good in Indianapolis. If you don't remember, their track record in the Big Ten tournament is not good.
Neither is Purdue's, but again,
Purdue at least won a title.
2009. Well, I'm talking about overall in Indianapolis. So don't pull up that Butler versus Purdue record at all, because it's going to be embarrassing for Purdue. But again, so against Michigan, IU should feel good because they had the crowd against them. They've got to execute, hold the Michigan bigs from going crazy. And if they have to play zone and make Michigan make shots, I mean, it's not necessarily something they've done all year, but I say force them to go make shots and challenge them to make shots.
I think IU, and, you know, speaking of this Butler game, Butler's up 5 with a minute 30 to go. IU fans, you should be wanting Butler to win this game. Xavier right now is the last four in. They're labeled as one of the last four teams in the NCAA tournament. Wake Forest lost today. They were kind of on the bubble. The more these bubble teams lose, Indiana, the better shot for you to beat Michigan. And if you can beat Illinois, you're looking like you could get in the NCAA tournament. Because right now Michigan is playing the last four, and they're playing the play-in game right now. That's where they have them. So it's not a closed door for the Hoosiers. There is a path to the NCAA tournament besides winning the Big Ten. You got to beat Michigan. Tall task, but you got to beat Illinois, and then you see what happens. Because the thing about these conference tournaments is there's going to be plenty of these teams losing. Xavier loses here. I mean, they're going to have the same record as IU, 19-13. Below 500 in the conference, same as the Hoosiers. There's a shot. IU needs these bubble teams to lose, and they need to at least get one or two wins to get in the tournament. Now, to recap Purdue-IU, it was a loud experience. It was loud as I expected. They cranked up the volume a little bit more in there on Saturday. The crowd, when I got to Mackey, 2 hours before the game, the line was outside of Mackey Arena all the way down about a quarter mile to get in with the students and the fans. So they were lining up early in the morning. I got to go in. I got to sit and talk with Coach Brantley on the bench for a little bit during a shoot around before the game. John, he was disappointed he didn't get you in a game this year, so he wanted me to tell you that. But he said you're doing great things, and you're a stand-up great influence, a father. So props to you, my man. I know you had other commitments, so he wanted me to pass that along to you. So we'll get him on the radio at least at some point here soon, after the season. Absolutely. Not soon. I guess after the season, after they win the title, we'll get him on. But, you know, watching warm-ups, you know, Purdue jumped out to a big lead, John. I think it was a 9-point lead they had late in the first half. And then IU just kind of hung around. And there was some nervousness there amongst Boilermaker fans, especially when IU got up 5 with about 6 minutes to go. Stefanovic hits a 3. Purdue turnovers, John. Purdue turnovers and free throw shooting, it's what's kind of hurt them in their losses this year, obviously. It almost cost them again when they were taking on IU at home. And unfortunately, that's probably going to cost them as well as we get closer to the NCAA tournament. You know, backup guard play, Eric Hunter Jr., you talked about when we've had you on before talking about the Boilermakers, how they don't have a second guard, or a second guard needs to consistently stand up. And sometimes it's Sasha. Sometimes it's Eric Hunter Jr. He had a great senior day, hit some big, huge threes for Purdue. Ivy didn't have a great first half. He had an okay second half. Still standing around. That's the problem. Travion, I feel, has digressed the last month for Purdue. So that's kind of given them a little bit of trouble. But overall, great experience, great game. You know, you want that from your rivalries. Matt Painter even said afterwards during senior day talks, quote, I know you guys love these big – I know you love big 20, 25-point blowout wins and all, but the team – the Indiana team is a very, very good team, and they play great defense. So – and then IU does. IU did play great defense in both games against Purdue this year. Like you said, they just have different lapses mentally throughout the games that have ended up costing them. And Mike Woodson, some of the questionables, you know, no timeouts with 4 minutes to go left in the game. You have zero timeouts left. You get back from a media timeout, and 12 seconds in after coming back from a media timeout, you call your second to last timeout with 12 minutes to go or 11 minutes to go. Like, I don't understand. You just had a timeout for a full five timeout here about 12 seconds ago. Why you're calling it again? And there was no need to. So I think it's those little things there. Looking at Purdue, John, they're a 3 seed. They're going to play either Penn State, Minnesota, or Ohio State. Ohio State has kind of hit the wall towards here at the end of the season with Chris Holtmann. I'm not going to say he's going to lose his job, but there has been some talks about Holtmann having some problems there in Ohio State.
And Brandon, that's crazy, man. Because I'm hearing the same thing, especially after the tournament run they had last year. That's crazy.
They did have a tournament run last year, John. They didn't have a tournament run. They lost. They were the 2 seed. They lost to Oral Roberts in the first game, the 15 seed.
Same on me. I'm thinking about the year before last. But they're talking about they got his name already linked to other schools. Louisville, potentially Butler, if you know, depending on what goes on with LaValle Jordan in this particular season. But I don't know, man. There's going to be times if it was I forgot about last year. If that was the case, then Painter would be gone. You know what I'm saying too. After what Purdue went through last year, so if you got a great coach. And I think, you know what I'm saying, Holtzman is a good coach to potentially be great. You know what I'm saying? Greatness is when you win, you know what I'm saying, your conference, you know what I'm saying, your Big Ten title 3 or 4 times, right? You potentially get to a Final Four. That's when greatness, that's when you call your program great. You know what I'm saying? Why would you, who's out there? You don't get Patino to come and coach, you know what I'm saying, come and coach Ohio State? You know what I'm saying? No. You know what I mean? So I don't know. If Ohio State wants to piss down his leg and give away and let him go, I'm sure he'll be – unemployed for all of like 2 minutes, you know what I mean? Cause he's a good program builder, and you know what I'm saying, he knows X and O's.
Yeah. And I heard that they would possibly give another run to Thad Matta, which is crazy to me based on how that previously finished.
Is he still working for the Hoosiers?
I saw him behind the bench Saturday. He was sitting there chewing that gum. So,
that's crazy, man.
But, John, looking at the bracket, you know, Rutgers, John, Rutgers has had a hell of a season. They're on the bubble as well. I think that's going to take them to I think they're going to have to win a couple games themselves, probably get to the Big Ten championship for them to make the NCAA tournament. I actually have them losing in their first game to Iowa. Nobody's hotter than Iowa right now. And I know they lost to Illinois, and they had a big lead in the home finale, but Iowa's looking good. I think they've won 10 of their last 11 games. I got Iowa playing Illinois in the Big Ten semifinal on Saturday. I've got Illinois winning that game, and then I've got Wisconsin and Purdue in the bottom half. I got Purdue avenging the loss to Wisconsin. And then I think Purdue finally gets that win there against Wisconsin that they were close for 2 games this year, a buzzer beater in Madison, and then just a home disappointment against them. I think the Boilermakers get that done. I think you got Illinois and Purdue in the Big Ten championship, and I've got Illinois repeating as Big Ten tournament champions.
Illinois has come on strong, right? I almost had them out, not out of the tournament, but out of the tops of the Big Ten conference. I'm gonna be a homer right now. I'm rooting for Purdue to get it done to win the tournament. If they can win the tournament, right, Brandon, can they get back to a 2 seed? I don't know. I don't know how they feel about. They were one time number one overall, you know.
Yeah.
If they win a tournament, can they get to a 2 seed? The 1 seed is definitely out. We gotta know there's gonna be some surprises with the Pac-12 and the ACC. You know, so you gotta understand there's gonna be potentially some surprises. Beating the Wisconsin team for a third, you know what I'm saying, playing them with for a third time. It's hard to beat a team from a Wisconsin lane. It's hard to beat a team 3 times over. And again, they'd be playing virtually at home if they can get to that game. So I want Purdue to play with an edge and don't play too cocky and take anybody for granted. You know what I'm saying? That Michigan State game kind of got away from them because I think they took Michigan State not as serious as they would have done in other years, you know what I'm saying? But like I said, I'm being a real homer right now. I want Purdue to, you know what I'm saying, win the Big Ten tournament and potentially set themselves up for, you know, an easier route to the Final Four.
Absolutely. It looks like Butler's going to win, John. Butler's up by 9 with 20 seconds to go. The Lithuanians scored 13 straight points for Butler as all their big guys fouled out. But like I said, with Xavier and Wake Forest both losing, and they were on the bubble's a little less crowded now for IU. So, but IU's got to win. So this doesn't matter. Hoosiers can't get a win.
Brent, let me ask you this, man. If Rutgers wins the game, won't they kind of all really be ahead of IU if IU doesn't win, at least their first beat Michigan? Because Rutgers at least beat – How many ranked teams did they beat this year? They beat Purdue, right? They beat Ohio State, I thought.
So Rutgers,
they lost Wisconsin. Go ahead.
Yeah, Rutgers is 6-5 in quad one games. 6-5. IU's 3-7 in quad one games. If you look at the net rating, which is where you would look to place teams in the NCAA tournament, which apparently the committee puts a lot of emphasis on the net. IU right now net is 44 and Rutgers is 76. So, yeah, it's just interesting with that. You look at quad twos, they're both 3-4 in quad twos. IU's 5-1 to a 4-2 in quad threes. And then IU 7-0, Rutgers 5-1 in quad four. Rutgers has a bad loss in quad four overall. Strength of schedule, IU's a 72. Rutgers is an 84. You look at head-to-head, you know, I know Rutgers has got one. I think the problem with Rutgers is the fact that they got a bye to play the winner of Iowa and then either Nebraska or Northwestern, which right now it's looking like Nebraska. So if they can beat Iowa, who's had a chance, I think even if IU beats Michigan, if Rutgers can beat Iowa, I feel like that puts them ahead of the Hoosiers.
Okay.
That's why I feel like it's the one shot. So Tanner's going to join – or not Tanner, excuse me. Nick Peterson's going to join us on Sunday to talk brackets, our college basketball guy. He's already been in. He's involved with us, so we love it. John, I'll tell you one team I love to win the American Conference, conference tournament. A lot of people like Houston and Kelvin Sampson's team. We went to the Final Four last year. They like them going in and doing it. I like Memphis. Memphis is playing good ball right now, John. I know we had them left for dead about a month ago or so. But they are playing good basketball.
And it's still a little bit of a gray area whether Amani Bates is not with the team. He hasn't played with them since, like, early part of January. Because, you know what I'm saying, his dad says he has a back injury or whatever. But ever since, you know what I'm saying, Coach – Penny Hardaway, right, had that come to Jesus moment where, you know what I'm saying, he had a frustrating depress, right, and used a lot of four-color words, you know what I'm saying, four-letter words that we've all heard before, you know what I'm saying. He's kind of turned his team around. He's definitely turned his team around. That particular conference, they're the hottest team in that particular conference. I couldn't bet against, you know what I'm saying, them not winning that tournament. Houston's going to be right there at the end with them. I think both those teams probably make it to the big dance. But, yeah, Memphis is definitely playing some great basketball right now.
Yeah, and I just put it on Twitter, you know, the bubble is starting to pop for some of these teams, so it's giving the Hoosiers a better shot to do it. Memphis, they're 19-9. They've won four straight, John. They're 35th in the net. They're making strides at the right time, so I like how they're looking. Xavier, like I said, just lost. They're going to be off the bubble. Wake Forest lost. They're off the bubble. Davidson, North Carolina, Miami, San Francisco, some of these other teams that are on the bubble themselves for some wins. We'll see. San Francisco, 24-9. Their Nets, 24, but they have them. They lost to Gonzaga, or excuse me, they lost to Gonzaga or they lost to St. Mary's. I can't remember which one. But they're on the bubble. I think Florida's out. John, Florida's 19-12, 9-9 in the SEC. I just don't think they've I don't think that gets them into there. So I have them out. SMU, they're on the bubble. Good news is they're probably going to have to play a Memphis. They're 22-7, 13-4. They're 49 with net, so they've got a chance. Right now, currently, I've got them as one of the first four play-ins right now. Memphis-wise, I've got them as a 12, or excuse me, an 11 seed right now. I've got Memphis in as an 11, taking on Texas as a 6 seed. So we'll see what we get with that. Dayton Flyers, they're another bubble team. We'll see. I don't have them in at all. I do have a problem with the fact the NCAA, I feel like the NCAA needs to change the rules for Bellarmine. Bellarmine, John, is in the process of committing their four-year entry to the Division I basketball from D2, exactly what USI is going to have to do. When you jump up from Division II to Division I, you have to sit out 4 years from making the NCAA tournament to help build your program into a Division I thing. The problem with that is Bellarmine, this is their second year in Division I, and they hosted the conference tournament championship last night, and they won. They won their conference tournament, which should give them an automatic berth to the NCAAs, but it doesn't. So they're not allowed to play. Even though they won, they got to host the conference tournament. I don't think there's a team that can – I don't think there's a team that can represent that conference now in the tournament. I really don't. I think the tournament just – I think the conference is proving some.
I think that whoever won the regular season
– they did. They got to host it.
Damn.
Yeah. I'm confused. Like, I don't know what happens. But I think they need to change the rules. I mean, what the hell are we waiting 4 years for, right?
I don't understand that. Right. You allowed them to play last year and this year. They played Gonzaga this year. They played Purdue this year. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? With varying results. But still, if you take the jump and you say, yo, you can come, the NCAA, the governing body says, yo, you can come on over and play Division I basketball if you go over 17. So, case in point. Brandon, if IUPUI won their conference, won the Horizon, they won three games, right, this whole entire year. And I get it, they've been Division I for X amount of years, right? But they won their conference tournament this year. The Horizon League, they would go to the tournament. Regardless of how many games they won, you telling me a team that actually won their conference, won their tournament, can't go because of some bogus, that doesn't make sense. I'm not saying you should go out and protest or nothing like that, but there can definitely be some conversations around that with some ADs, some presidents, you know what I'm saying,
right.
You know, hey, hell, everybody, them there, Brandon, everybody plays now, so why can't you just put them into a playing game? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I just looked it up. Jacksonville State, who lost to Bellarmine, they are giving them the ticket to the NCAA tournament, even though they got beat by Bellarmine, because they apparently won. They're saying they won the regular season championship, which makes no sense. The fact that Bellarmine got to host it, the tournament, you would think the number one seed would host for these small conferences. But Jacksonville State, who lost, they get in, and Bellarmine don't. So Jacksonville State played in that game and just didn't give a crap, basically, because they knew they were going to get in.
For sportsmanship purposes, I know this would be a fairy tale ending, Disney ending, man. Why don't they just say, man, and let Bellarmine play? Split whatever money, tournament money, I get it, man, because Jacksonville State wants to take advantage of the money that they would get to go to the tournament. You know what I'm saying? Split the money, let Bellarmine go. You didn't really win anyway, right?
Right.
You lost. So, but
let me ask
you
this.
We know money's involved. You know what I'm saying? We know prestige is involved, all those things. So I say split the money and let the winning team go.
Your friend has a high opinion of this, and I'm curious of your opinion. Should they go away from the handshake lines?
My friend. That jackass ain't none of my friends.
Oh!
Dan Dockers. No. I like handshake lines. I do.
Okay. Just curious. Let's see. What else do I have? College basketball-wise, Notre Dame. I think Notre Dame gets in. I know they're kind of right now. I got them listed as a 10 seed, but I've got them in.
Ooh, I had at least a 6.
Yeah, I've got them at 10. I compared some of the others from our bracket matrix, and they've got them at 8 and 9 and 10 and 11. I've seen them at all four of those.
Well, it's a down year for the ACC, right?
Yep.
Even though they finished third. It's a down year for the ACC, and the Kentucky win, like, they kind of – nobody wants to remember. Not even
right.
Not Kentucky, right? Nobody really is giving them credit for them beating Kentucky. But other than that, I don't really see any quality wins, like great quality wins on their schedule. They have some good wins as far as ACC play, but, again, like I said, ACC is down kind of this year. So, you know what I'm saying, beating Wake Forest or beating Miami just doesn't hold the weight that it would if this was like, you know, saying 2005.
Right. Let me go through. I like doing this with you. And it's going to be yes or no. And I'm going to go through the first three seed lines of right now. If this team can win the national championship as of right now, yes or a no, I'm going to go through all three seed lines, the top three seed lines. And so we'll kind of get an idea who we both have as possibly winning and not. Gonzaga, yes, I'm sure you say yes.
Yes.
Okay. Auburn.
Yes.
I say yes as well. They make me a little nervous. A little nervous. But I've liked them all year. I've liked them all year. And I think they've got the best player in college basketball.
Mm-hmm. Jabari Smith.
Yep. Baylor.
Pete, yes.
I think they can win. Do I think they will? No, because it's so damn hard to repeat in the win a championship. But I've got them going. I would have them going far. I think they could do that. Arizona.
No.
Okay. I'm going to say no as well. I don't think Arizona's got the talent to sit there and run the court. They are back. They are back. I think they're going to run into a buzzsaw somewhere.
Yeah.
And based on where I have my brackets right now, I've got a few teams that could definitely upset them. Would not be shocked, people, if Alabama upset. I have Alabama as the 5 seed in the Sweet 16 taking on Arizona, and I've got them upsetting Arizona right now in my own bracket. So I like Bama there. 2 seeds, Duke. I'm going to say yes. I think there's a way they can do it.
I'm going to say no, based on what I said about them not having an on-court leader.
Kansas.
Kansas is tough.
They looked good against Texas.
Looked real good in Texas, but I'm going to say no.
Okay, I'm going to say yes. Kentucky?
You can't never count out Calipari. He's probably got –
I'm going to say no.
Probably got sick, and I don't want Jacob
Can he stay healthy?
Right, can he stay healthy? they do. They have some chaotic play at guard. They got some great athleticism at guard and wing. Boy, this gonna be again. People gonna see probably playing for the Oklahoma City Thunder or Orlando Magic here coming up pretty soon. But I'm gonna say no. That Kentucky can't win the Final Four.
I have the same exact. I don't think they can, because all we keep talking about is, hey, this Kentucky team can be good. This Kentucky team can run the table if they can stay healthy. If they can stay healthy, this Kentucky team is great. Well, that's the problem. They can't. And right now is the time where you need to stay healthy. So I'm going to say they're going to have some injury woes, and they may not be able to stay healthy. Now, we'll see when the brackets come out Sunday, and we give our predictions on Sunday after the brackets come out. But I don't see a route for them to do it based on the makeup of this team. And Coach Cal, I mean, I'm going to throw Coach Calipari up there with Tom Izzo. They've both only won one NCAA title, and we treat them like they've won three or four in March.
Who is we? This ain't the day to rant on Kentucky and its overrated program.
Uh-oh.
Right? I'm sorry. When Patino left you, you know what I'm saying? It's good that you got Tubby, right? It's good that you got
Gillespie.
Coach Cal. Oh. Overrated program. Sorry. Did we lose connection, Bree?
All right. I'm back, and John's gone off the show. So John will call back in here momentarily. Not sure what happened there. It was probably Kentucky. Somebody in the state of Kentucky heard us talking bad about him, and they wanted to have him cancel the show. So we'll see if we get him.
Brandon,
here's John.
Every time we talk bad about Brandon.
We talk bad about somebody, they come get us.
No, every time you talk about it's the SEC Network. Every time whether it's football or basketball now, if you talk bad about the SEC Network, they're going to cut you.
Alabama, and they canned me. So I think it's Kentucky. I think it's people down in Kentucky. They had enough of me. All right.
Maybe so.
Purdue Boilermakers.
Make it to the Final Four? Yes.
I think this to be a successful season, they have to be in the Final Four. Have to. And of course, Brantley may come on and tell us something different, but I think for them to have a successful season and call this successful, they've got to be in the Final Four with this team. At minimum.
There you go.
Wisconsin.
No, they don't necessarily have the athleticism or the toughness. They got some shot makers.
I agree.
I don't know if their shot makers can lead. They can have a lot of shot makers in Wisconsin, if that makes sense. At home, I feel like they're damn near unbeatable. But like you say, going to tournament play, I can't necessarily trust that team. They become almost like a one trick pony with Johnny Davis. So, no.
Okay, I agree. Illinois, I say yes.
If the Sumo had stayed. Brandon, I think they might have been raising a banner, because they would have had another year with him and high level guard play. Loyola kind of shows how the way to beat Illinois last year. I know that's a different team, but if you can pull their big guy out from the bucket so he's not clogging up the lane. They do have some great shooters. They're not great. They do have some good shooters on Illinois' team, but I don't think they have enough great guard play to navigate all the way to the Final Four.
Villanova?
Oh, man, I love me some Villanova. And I know, this not necessarily been the Big East's year as far as strength, but at least first starting out, right? Make it to the Final Four, no, Sweet 16, absolutely. I know that wasn't the question, but that's my answer.
Tennessee.
No.
Be careful.
Sorry.
Okay. So, yeah, that's the top three seed lines that I have. I am excited to talk. Just to give people the clarification, I guess, if you want to go four seeds, Arkansas, Providence, UCLA, and Texas Tech I think there's some teams there that can get in the Elite Eight there that I do like. But we're going to break down the brackets and all that heavy, heavy Sunday night episode, 7 to 8:30 on Facebook Live and Blog Talk Radio. We'll talk brackets, brackets, brackets. Myself and John will fill out our brackets as we're talking with you, give you our picks to win the title. Will I go for a third straight year or fourth straight year of taking the Duke Blue Devils? You have to tune in and find out. Spoiler, I probably won't unless they get a good draw. John, a couple things I want to talk before we wrap up this evening. By the way, before we do that, I want to hit our quick ad reads, hit our ads. We got to talk to our sponsors, our great, great sponsors we have. So we'll hit our ad reads, and then we're going to finish up with a couple topics. We'll go from there.
You've changed thousands of diapers, cut off hundreds of crusts, played hours of peekaboo and duck, duck, goose because you'd do anything for your kids. That's why it's so important to protect them with life insurance from State Farm. State Farm Insurance Agent Scott K. Nichols will help make it easy and affordable to help protect your family no matter what the future holds. Because for the people you'd do anything for, life insurance could mean everything. Call State Farm Agent Scott K. Nichols in Indianapolis today at 317-243-3509. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Also want to thank our sponsor, Maverick Custom Motorsports, where ideas are created, dreams are born. Specializing in custom motorcycles, boats, slingshots, Jeeps, and trucks, offering pickups, deliveries, and shipping worldwide. Check them out today, maverickcustommotorsports.com. Like I said, they ship worldwide. Custom motorcycle builds, custom audio accessory installs, LED lighting, custom rims, wheels, more. They carry all the top brands and more. Give them a call, 833-SHOP-MAV. That's 833-SHOP-MAV, or check them out, maverickcustommotorsports.com.
And we also want to thank Three Wiseman Logistics. That's Three Wiseman Logistics. They're your Amazon delivery service. Dedicated to the successful delivery of your packages. 365 days a year, 7 days a week. That's Wiseman Logistics. Hit them up at 877-744-6212. That's 877-744-6212. Wiseman Logistics.
All right. We are back. Thank you to our sponsors. We couldn't do this show without you. You make this show a heck of a lot easier for us to do, so we appreciate each and every one of you. John, a couple of last things I have. I want to talk about, one, I want to give a shout-out. I want to give a shout-out to the Carroll Cougars. John, the Carroll Cougars, my old high school in Flora, Indiana, little small 1A, 2A school. Won sectionals this past weekend here. The Indiana State High School Basketball Tournament started last week. Sectional time is a great time in the state of Indiana. I went and watched both of their games Friday night and then Saturday night for the championship. This team's special, John. They're 21-1. They're ranked fifth in the state for a very, very small school. They've got a game this Saturday. They're playing over here in LaPel, Indiana, taking on Rensselaer. And if they win that, they're most likely probably going to play Monroe Central, who's undefeated. So I'm heading over there Saturday to watch the games. They play at noon.
Okay.
If they win, they play at 8. But I want to give a shout-out to my old high school, Carroll Basketball, Coach Bodie Bender and the Cougars. Winning sectionals this past year. First time in the last 10 years they've won a sectional. So shout-out to them. They're having a great season. And good luck to them as they go into regionals this weekend. Also, John, I want to ask you, entertainment-wise, I watched the first episode on HBO Max the other night of Showtime about the Los Angeles Lakers series.
Okay.
That they have on there. Have you seen it or seen the previews for it? I liked it, and it's kind of a different atmosphere to where I know John C. Reilly plays Jerry Buss, but it's kind of that TV show where they kind of also, like, as you're watching it, they kind of look in the camera and talk to you. Kind of one of the host shows.
Okay.
Yes. I actually enjoyed the very first episode. And I don't know who the hell they got to play Larry Joe Bird, but, oh, my. We got to do Larry a little bit more justice than that.
I'm a little bit behind on my viewership, man. I haven't seen it yet. But I had spent 3.5 hours watching Batman.
What do you think of that?
Oh, it was great. But dude, I had to plug it. I damn near need a catheter. because, like, you know what I'm saying, the movie is that long. Reminds you a lot of the Christian Bale Batman, you know what I'm saying, that in recent memory, you know what I'm saying, with the Batman Begins and
who plays
Dark
Batman?
Knight. And, it's Edward, that guy that was what's the name of that, Moonlight, Daylight, what's the name of that series? I never watched the movie. It's Vampire and Werewolf.
It's not a Twilight?
Yeah, Twilight. I knew.
What happened to Ben Affleck? What about Ben Affleck? I thought he was Batman.
Hey, Brandon, you know.
How many Batman do we have?
How many Spider-Man do we got? I hit you with that. Ben Affleck is no longer Batman per se. This director went with another. He went with that particular Batman, the guy from Twilight. And the guy from Twilight does a real good job. Again, like I said, it's a great movie. No spoilers here. Fighting the Riddler. Penguin's in the movie. It's like a realistic version. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, Christian Bale, like a realistic version of Batman. There's no people flying around like Superman or Aquaman talking to fish or anything like that. It was a good movie. So I have not, so shame on me, I have not got time, had any time really to watch the winning show, this based around the Lakers on HBO Max just yet.
Walking Dead?
Of course. I'm caught up
on
Walking Dead. Last season, you know what I'm saying? We got the King getting ready to have surgery, right? We got more deals with the Alexandria turning down deals with the Commonwealth. Alexandria turned down the deal. She turned down the deal. So we get into the nitty gritty. It's kind of sort of a filler. I would say the last two episodes, if you're not familiar with Walking Dead, sort of fillers, right? But I found them compelling. Just a little
what
bit.
About,
I'm still waiting for Rick. Where you at, Rick?
What about the Negan and Maggie spinoff thing we're getting?
Yeah, I'm not sure how that's going to work, considering that they hate one another. And he actually, you know, smashed her husband's head. I ain't forgot about that. And I know the world of Walking Dead, you know what I'm saying, puts a lot of pressure and it takes the human body and mind into different ways, man. But, you know what I'm saying, he bashed Glenn's head with a spiked bat, her husband.
Several times.
And as well, you know what I'm saying, her other friends and whatnot. So I can't – wait a minute. Did they also cut off Herschel's head? Who did that?
That was Governor.
Yeah, that was Governor. That's right.
So, interesting. We'll see what happens. I just watched this week coming up, that episode. So we're getting in the nitty gritty with it. And I know you're waiting every episode with faint breath for Rick. So, WWE wise, John, we've got WrestleMania. The road to WrestleMania is coming. Title for title, unification, Lesnar, Reigns, Edge and AJ Styles. We've got that matchup. We've got Stone Cold Steve Austin and Kevin Owens are going to have something. Stone Cold did a vigilante thing the other night. We've got Hall of Fame with Undertaker, Vader, and apparently Sid's the next one that's going to be rumored to be coming in to the Hall of Fame. But we can't get our boy Davey Boy Smith. Oh, right, no, Davey Boy did go in last year. As I said, we can't get some of our other favorites in. But so Mania's starting to turn around. We'll see what happens. Two-night episode's going to be great. John, I was going to buy the pay-per-view for AEW on Sunday night. The problem is I didn't think I was going to be able to stay up for 4 hours of it. It was going to be a waste of money because I wasn't going to be able to stay up and finish watching it all. So I did not buy it. But I saw the results. I thought the Punk MJF match was good. I liked that. The Jericho Kingston one kind of was a good first match. I saw some of the highlights from it.
Right.
I don't know. What was your thoughts kind of on that, on the pay-per-view? And
Brandon, AEW's got to get – they've got – like, listen, man. Like, I get it, man. How can you not miss the Sting? The man's 63 years old, and he's jumping off.
Yeah.
He's, He's jumping off balconies.
Now broke a hip.
All right. AEW, when you make props in every match, you know what I'm saying, it kind of takes away from the significance of the prop,
right?
So chair, like they use chairs on the regular show. They use chairs and tables on the dark show on YouTube. Then you use chairs and chains and all kind of props on doing a pay-per-view. So it kind of cheapens the pop of, like, we're going to put this kid through the table and that's going to be the end of the match. Well, no, that wasn't. That's not the end of the match, right?
Right.
It also, they'll knock, I mean, again, I thought the overuses of blood and blading. So, like, if the build up for MJF and CM Punk was in a chain match, you know, it's a dog collar match. We assume Smart Marks assume there's going to be some type of blood in it, but you also had blood in the John Moxley and Daniel Bryan match.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? I think it dilutes the fact the impact of MJF and CM Punk's feud. Great heel turn. I mean, great face turn by. So I'm going further. I'm about to positive. Great face turn from Wardlow. You know what I'm saying? That storyline. See, you know what I'm saying? Where that takes him. Crazy Danhausen shows up and curses Ricky Starks from potentially winning that particular match. And like I said, Wardlow won. I'm not a believer in Adam Cole. I see why WWE is gonna make him a manager. Like, dude, he's not a big dude at all. The people look like, Brandon, I'm not a fighter, but I'm telling you right now, I could kick Adam Cole's ass.
Uh-oh.
I hope he's good. Right? I could kick Adam Cole's ass. He's not big at all, man. Like, the believability, and, well, I think he used to be a little bit more physically fit. WWE, you know what I'm saying, the image makers they have there, like, if you ain't a certain height, weight, whatever, you won't go out there and be a primetime performer. But he, you know, hey, AEW is a different land. So overall, I give the pay-per-view a B+. You know what I'm saying? A lot of action. This is unfortunately a lot of action. Like, Brandon, again, another nitpick. Why does everybody have to jump on somebody outside of the ring? Everybody does it. So the guys would be waiting to catch you. You know what I'm saying? Everybody does it. Jungle Boy
yep.
does it. Dallin Arby, you know what I'm saying? He does it. Everybody does it. So it gets overused, man. You know, I don't know. But like I said, good pay-per-view.
Ring of Honor.
That was crazy. So it's like the announcement of Tony Khan buying Ring of Honor. Or so I don't know what he's going to do with it, if he's going to use it like – I mean, obviously he owns the videotapes and, you know what I'm saying, the video rights to a lot of that footage that Ring of Honor has now. And there's guys that he already has signed in AEW, and as well as some other performers that wrestled under different names that wrestled now in the WWE. Could he use Ring of Honor as a third brand, sort of like WWE's used NXT? I could see that. You know what I'm saying? Because he's got a lot of – right now he's got a lot of wrestlers, but, like, what are they really doing with him? You know what I'm saying? What are they really doing with Miro? And I know he's hurt, but I'm saying I'm just using him
just
as
a sign
the
new
example.
Multi-year contract,
yeah,
too.
Right, I'm saying, but what are they really doing with him? What are they really doing with, you know what I'm saying, some of the other talents that they might have? Sonny Kiss, I'm trying to think who else. I know Jay Lethal, who they just signed a couple weeks ago. You know what I'm saying? What are they really doing with some of these guys that they have just kind of sitting around? You know what I'm saying? So it's going to be real interesting to see what he does with the Ring of Honor brand.
We got William Regal with Bryan Danielson and John Moxley tonight as the tag team, and William Regal's in the corner. I don't understand all that either.
Right.
Oh, wow. Purdue Basketball just posted, March Madness brings everybody together. There's a picture of Gene Cady and Bob Knight sitting together today. So, okay. See? We can all be friends in the end. Another thing, John, I want to talk WWE wise. It just slipped my mind. What was it? I forget what it was. I can't think what it was. I want to talk Cade Cunningham real quick. We haven't talked in the NBA, but. Apparently, you know, the Lakers real quick before Kay Cunningham, the Lakers organization wants Vogel. They're probably going to can him at the end of the season. They want him to bench Russell Westbrook. Vogel doesn't want to bench Russell Westbrook. He wants him to play, continues to play him. You've got street clothes. You've got LeBron in and out. LeBron's back tonight. Lakers had a desperate win Saturday night against the Warriors, a comeback win they needed desperately. Whew. John, are the Lakers, are they going to make it in the playoffs?
They're going to be rounding out a nine seed, man. I think they make it. They're going to get, I think they're going to get AD back within the next week or so. AD and even like Russell, Westbrook, I get it. I do get it. You know what I'm saying? Westbrook, the criticism that his wife is taking on Twitter, the criticism ESPN throws at him on a daily basis, the criticism that the Laker fans and, you know, are throwing him on a daily basis, the criticism that, you know what I'm saying, that whatever other networks are throwing at him on a daily basis, Facebook, Twitter, social media. So death threats now, so that's kind of put this in a, you know what I'm saying, in a category. Death threats are unacceptable, right? Death threats that for playing basketball, for goodness sake, folks. If you're a fan and you're sending death threats either through a tweet or DM, shame on you. Delete your account. You know what I mean?
I don't know if I even call you a fan at that point.
But anything else, like, play better, Russ. I'm being for real. Cut out the you're an MVP. You're a walking, you know what I'm saying, triple-double. That's what you, you know what I'm saying, you're a professional basketball. You were, was he not in the top 75?
He was
right. You know, play better, Russ. If you're professional, you and LeBron are kind of similar. That you're ball dominant. Then you know what I'm saying, y'all need to figure it out. This is the Lakers. The Lakers are big. Are one of, you know what I'm saying, it ain't gonna get no better for. I can't. Yeah, it ain't gonna get no better for Russell in the nearest future, playing for a franchise that cares about winning. You might go to a different organization where they, you know what I'm saying, they're happy with you, Russell, you know what I'm saying, scoring 20 and getting 10 and getting 10 rebounds, turnovers, whatever, and they won, you know what I'm saying, got to the first round. But the Lakers care about getting to the finals. That's why they made the trade to get him. All the other stuff, don't worry about. All the other stuff about what Skip Bayless says, what I say, Brandon Reed, what's said on Facebook, Westbrook, don't worry about it. Play the best basketball that you're capable of, and there you go.
How about him saying, Skip, your boy Skip, LeBron goes out and scores 56 or so, and then Skip's got to go out there and try to critique one thing. He didn't pass enough. I mean, come on, Skip. Come on, Skip. Kyrie Irving.
Those dudes are paid to make up content, man, so you have to understand that.
How about Kyrie Irving, 50 points last night for Brooklyn? Are they going to be?
They needed it. Brandon, they're about to go under. Dude, a month and a half ago, they were a two seed. They're now in the play-in game situation. They're now ninth. If they had lost that game, they would have been two games under 500, looking at the Atlanta, looking at potentially, you know, to have to play the same Hornets or the Atlanta Hawks for a play-in position. Like, they got to win. They have to win their games. I don't care if Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving scores 30 to the 40 or whatever. They have to win their games. They got a big one coming up tomorrow against the Nets. They got to win that one too.
Yeah. Yep. So I don't have anything else, John. What do you got?
Dude, I think we recovered it, man. I'm going to apologize to the SEC network again. if, you know what I'm saying? I still think Kentucky's overrated, but, you know what I'm saying, Coach Kyle's one of, you know what I'm saying? So please don't cut our airwaves off, if you know what I'm saying, because of our opinion. But other than that, Brandon, I don't have anything, man. It's been a great show. I want to thank everybody who chimed in on the live feed, Mike Kelly, Justin Powell, Kelly, our benefactor and sponsor, Scott K. Nichols. You know, saying for chiming in on live, but there's a lot of comments. If you're listening to my voice and listen to Brandon Reese's voice, and you're not chatting it up with us on the Facebook Live, shame on you. But you know, saying we're not gonna put total shame on you. Just chime in. Facebook, everybody has Facebook, right? I would assume it's over 50 million users, right? You know, saying chime in with us. You know, saying we're live every Wednesday, six to eight p.m. You know, what I'm saying if you're shy for calling in, I know a lot of times people don't want to call into the call in number. Chime in with us on the Facebook Live. Outside of that, Brandon, I also want to thank our sponsor, Scott K. Nichols, State Farm Insurance, Wiseman Logistics, And Mavericks Custom Motorsports, you said it before, how could we do this show? It makes the show a whole lot easier to do it with sponsors. I want to thank them immensely. And outside of that, man, I want to thank everybody. You know, damn it, our two homeboys didn't call today, D. Cotton and Reggie. They must be busy or whatnot.
Yeah.
But, you know what I'm saying? Just want to say, like I said, man, we had a great show. Covered a lot, man. I'm waiting for some more football NFL news to drop. If you want to catch me and Brandon, when we're not on our showtime, hit us up on Instagram at Crossroads Sports on Instagram, or hit us up on Crossroads Sports on Twitter. Three Foolish Men is my tag on Twitter. Brandon Reef, I do believe, is Brandon Reef at Twitter. Is you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
That's Reef, R-E-E-F, on Twitter is his tag. So hit us up, man, and you like share your sports opinion or start an argument. It doesn't really matter, man. So outside of that, man, Brandon had a great show. Hope we'll be back. We'll be back next Wednesday. Go Purdue.
We'll be back Sunday.
Oh, I'm sorry. Damn it. Next Sunday. Next Sunday they can catch us as we have the tournament, Final Four tournament preview. So outside of that, man, thanks everybody for listening.
Absolutely. We'll see you guys Sunday night, 7 o'clock, same place, Blog Talk Radio, Facebook Live. The brackets will be out. They'll be announced. We'll have our picks and more. We're going to help you win your pools and your bets. See you guys on Sunday night.
Thanks for listening to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show. You can find more episodes on iTunes and the Google Play Store. Be sure to like and subscribe for more Crossroads Sports content.